0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set to turn our attentions away from the international football and look ahead to a busy weekend. Before that, Victor Wanyama is signing for Dunfermline to team up with Neil Lennon. Celtic continue to sweat on the fitness of Kasper Schmeichel returning from Denmark duty. And is there life left in the championship title race as Livingston beat Falkirk? I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley.
Yeah, and it's time to move away, isn't it, from the international stuff. Obviously a disappointing result for Scotland on Sunday. And now the club football is back. We had a caller, didn't we, come on saying that he wanted club football to continue during the international break. So he's got his wish. International break is now over. Moving forward with the club stuff. And like you said, Neil Lennon being reunited with one of his old players. Sorry, there's still a chance for you, mate, I think.
Well, I thought maybe Wanyama would be joining us in the Masters soon. But when I seen the name today, I must admit, I thought he was joining his coaching team. It was only when he's only 33. So, yeah, interesting times ahead. 7 games to go for Dunfermline to try and stay in the division.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. I can't believe for the second day in succession Dunfermline might be one of the leading topics on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. With no offence to the good people of Fife, it's just not a topic we hear very often, but here we are. If there are any Dunfermline fans out there, or anyone else who wants to give us their thoughts on this, please do. We were just getting over the fact Neil Lennon is the Dunfermline manager. They're now signing Victor Wanyama. That Victor Wanyama, the one that played for Celtic and Tottenham and did all sorts of good things in the English Premier League, etc. He is signing for the Pars, trying to keep them in the Scottish Championship. So a couple of things. Your reaction to that, what you make of it, and then maybe we could have a bit of fun. It's bound to be a bit of a quieter night in the middle of the international week. So give us all your memories of Scottish football's outlandish signings, right? Help us jog our memory here, because I'm thinking Victor Wanyama to Dunfermline will take some beating, but there must be loads more out there. So you can send us a tweet by all means, or even give us a call. Maybe your team, you remember signing someone that you think that was just a bizarre chapter in our history. What are Scottish football's most outlandish signings of all time? And where does Victor Wanyama to Dunfermline rank amongst that? Give us all your reaction, please. So that's your fun one for tonight on 0141 951 1025. Just a bit of something to keep us going throughout the night. In terms of the topical stuff, if you are that way inclined and you still want to whinge about Scotland, you can. If you'd rather move on, I think many of us would, then we can do that as well. Same number, as we said kind of last night, but I think with every day that passes, you Celtic fans will be waiting and waiting and waiting for news on Kasper Schmeichel's fitness. So if you've got any thoughts there, do get them in. Here's one for you Rangers fans. It's sort of just breaking, I think. I saw there in the Daily Record reporting that Vaclav Cherny's fee is $5.5 million. Wonder what you make of that. I wonder how keen you would be to spend that sort of money to keep him at the club. So that's what's being reported tonight, that the clause to buy Vaclav Cherny at the end of the season is £5.5 million, according to the Daily Record. How much would you be willing to press the button on that, Rangers fans? Now that you know that that's the price, what does that do for your appetite to keep him at the club? Because I think all things considered, you'd want to keep him. But if he was 10 million, then you think, is it worth it? And his age and so on. £5.5 million. What do you think? Give us a call right now. How much would you like to keep him at the club for that price? And anything else that's out there? Any Falkirk fans getting a wee bit nervous? I think everyone assumed that they would be joining us in the top flight next season, and they probably still will. They're very much in the driving seat, but they cannot get the better of your old pal Davy Martindale, Marvin.
No, they can't. Another defeat for Falkirk yesterday, and a massive, massive one for Livingston. You know, it's funny because I speak to people at the club, obviously, still, and it's one of those things that against, you know, Ayr and Falkirk, Livingston's record is really, really good. It's against the lesser teams that they've really struggled this season, and Falkirk has been the, you know, reverse of that. Against Livingston, they've really struggled, but the rest of the teams, they seem to just blow them away, and that's why they're top of the league. So, yeah, listen, it keeps it alive for Livingston. It's still in Falkirk's hands, 100%.
What's the gap?
I think it's 8 points, and Livingston have got a game in hand still. So they'll need to win that. But then they don't play at the weekend. They've got the Challenge Cup final. So, you know, it's one of those that, listen, it's definitely in Falkirk's hands. And they had to win yesterday's game, Livingston, to give themselves any chance, and they managed to do so.
fancy your old team? Still too far back?
I think they're too far behind now.
Playoffs?
I think playoffs at best. And I think it would be a struggle for any Championship team to, you know, beat the Premier League team who does finish in 11th place. I think they'll probably have too much for them. So, which will be disappointing from, you know, my point of view, obviously wanting Livingston to go up. But listen, as I said, you know, they still have a chance if Falkirk, you know, continue to wobble.
But he's not daft. He sort of spreads himself, doesn't he? He doesn't really mention Livy that much. He likes to pretend he's more Hibs leaning these days.
Yeah, well, he strolled in here
when it suits him.
The right go at John, didn't he? Producer John.
He likes to give him Falkirk. Yeah, he's pal. He's at Morton.
I think he described him as a loser, which I thought was a bit harsh.
That's what I normally call you when you're not here.
A little bit harsh, but yeah, he has Livingston hat on.
He's a sycophant, that's what he is. Anyway,
by the way, I think you've wrote them off for the playoff. They were very close with St Johnstone in the cup game. Took a wonder strike.
St Johnstone will go down last, mate. Mm. Which will be perfect for my household.
Big predictions.
We'll see. All right. That's slow as well. That's another ex-club of mine.
Everybody's an ex-club of
yours. Say that exactly. You can't speak about anyone here.
Including Dunfermline, incidentally. Yes. So there you go. 01419511025. Come on, this is it. This is the night where we just break free from the negativity surrounding the Scotland performance and result on Sunday, because I know how this works. There are so many of you out there that are just interested in the domestic football, and that's what you've been waiting on. So do give us a call this evening for a bit of fun. What do you make of Victor Wanyama signing for Dunfermline? Yes, you heard that correctly. And what are the all-time outlandish signings in Scottish football? What are the outlandish signings that your team has made or another team has made that we've maybe forgotten about that compares with this Victor Wanyama to struggling Championship side Dunfermline? That might be one you just want to tweet about, but it'd be nice to have it on the phone as well. We can have some fun on 01419511025. Dunfermline fans, looking for your reaction. Is it the type of signing that keeps you up? I mean, obviously there's a big profile there, but not played a lot of football recently. So what do you make of it, Celtic fans? It's another day, it's another wait for a fitness update on Kasper Schmeichel. How are you feeling about that? Is it one that worries you, or is most parts of the season sort of sewn up already and you think you could handle it if it was to be a semi-serious one? Do let us know. And that breaking or that development tonight, Rangers fans, if the price for Vaclav Cherny is 5.5 million, as is being reported by the Daily Record this evening, are you taking that? Are you pressing the button on it and saying yes please, or not? I'm braced for lots of yes pleases on that, Marvin. Yeah. But you never know.
Yeah, I think you know, when you just said it there, 5.5 million. I think, you know, every Rangers fan will want to keep him. Like you said, I think 90% of them would want them to stay regardless, but they just didn't know what the figure was going to be. You know, in the modern market, £5.5 million isn't ridiculous. You know, and if they are to be, you know, taken over, and they're going to have a bigger budget in the summer, I know that's annoying some people on Twitter because they've already done that towards me. But yeah, listen, £5.5 million, Gordon. I really think it's a no-brainer for them.
Are you nervous about Kasper Schmeichel's fitness update?
Well, it's a bit of a blow, yeah. It's an opportunity for Sinisalo to come in. I believe it was actually one of those ones where they allowed an offside.
I was watching the game. It honestly was ridiculous, the whole thing, because
so they've let the play go.
Yeah, but the linesman, so the offside play, I think it was Jota for Portugal, right, was in the attacking half.
Obvious.
Clear on, and they're using the halfway line. They're actually on the halfway line. Right. Jota's in the attacking half. He's so clearly offside. So he runs through, one of the Danish players are chasing him back, and he goes around Schmeichel. He jumps down, and as soon as he lands, you can see he's in trouble. But he had to stay on because they made all their substitutions. And then he goes to make a save later on in extra time, and he literally screams as he goes to save the ball. So I think it could be a bad one.
Yeah. It's frustrating. It's frustrating that it's led to that injury. I've heard months been said, of 2 or 3 weeks. We'll have to wait and see.
Come on then, you know the number, 01419511025. Don't leave me with just these two between now and
I'm enjoying it.
With just a gentle start to the show, finding our feet, coming back from the international break, that sort of thing. I saw a video of you in an ice bath.
I've seen it as well.
This morning. Pathetic.
I meant to ask,
absolutely pathetic.
Listen, I can't explain how cold it is. So there's a new place called Stretch. They actually want us to go in there.
All of us.
So they've got like a simulator thing, which, you know, says how mobile you are, etc. So you do like a couple of squats and whatever else, but they can do it with the goal swing as well.
Oh, I'd be terrible.
So it all comes up on, that's why I want us to go in there, and it all comes up on the screen. So you do that, and then I had like a 60 minute stretch.
How long were you in that pool?
Oh mate, it felt like an hour, but I reckon 2.5 minutes. But the record is 23 minutes. As someone who works
in it.
But it is Baltic. It's ridiculous.
Well, obviously.
Yeah. But no, I've been in ice baths. When you can stand up, I think it's a lot easier. See, when you actually have to go and you're like laying down as if you're in a bath and it submerges you. Yeah, it was horrendous. But I took one for the team, Gordon. I'm that sort of guy. I feel better for it today. So
good on you. Right, come on then. Give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking. Are you looking back the way? Are you looking forward? Are you delving in on that topic that we've got going? Victor Wanyama to Dunfermline. Where does that rank in the all-time outlandish Scottish football signings? And just your general reaction to that as well. Do you know what we should do, actually? Let's get our colleague Stephen Mill on, who obviously works at this fine radio station. And he's, I was going to say he's the biggest Dunfermline fan I know. I don't know if he's the only one. I can't really scroll through everyone in my head right now. But Stephen, right, even in your wildest imagination, if I'd said to you 10 days ago Neil Lennon's the new Dunfermline manager and he's signing Victor Wanyama.
Yeah, I mean, first time caller, by the way, Gordon. Thanks very much for having me on.
This is a career low for you.
It really is. But no, honestly, I mean, yeah, you're totally right. 2 weeks ago, you know, Michael Tisler was in charge. It looked like we were heading for relegation. If somebody would have said to me Neil Lennon would be our manager and then would be signing somebody who, what, 4 or 5 years ago was playing in a Champions League final, I probably wouldn't have believed you, to be perfectly honest with you. It's just one of these, again, wild Scottish football stories that just see me pop up from time to time, and I guess it's Dunfermline's turn to go on this sort of roller coaster, because, you know, we've had so many dark times since we were in administration back in 2013. You know, we've won League One, we've been relegated back to League One, we're obviously back in the Championship now, but I mean, it's been a grim season for us, and now, with 7 games to go, we're signing Victor Wanyama. I know it's not been announced yet, but it will be announced in the next sort of 45 minutes or so is what I'm hearing. But, yeah, just absolutely wild times.
I mean, he is only 33. Yeah. It's not like you're getting a 40-year-old version. That, balance that up with the fact he's not played loads of football. He left Montreal in January. He gets 7 games left, Stephen. Do you think he can... can he come in and make an impact, or is this just about having someone of his experience around the place? Is it maybe like a no-lose situation?
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, obviously, I mean, you say he's 33 years old, but I mean, this guy has been playing at a very, very high level for a number of years. Even at Montreal, he was their captain. I think he might still be the Kenyan captain as well. So obviously, going forward, we'll have to consider losing him for the African Cup of Nations and stuff like that. So, you know, like, it's just, he should be head and shoulders above everyone else that he's playing with. I mean, he's just of a completely different standard. I mean, $12.5 million, I think it was, that Celtic sold him to Southampton. £11 million Tottenham bought him for. It was he went in as Montreal's designated player. So, yeah, I mean, he should be much better than everyone else, even though, as you quite rightly point out, he hasn't played since July or something like that. I assume that he's been keeping himself fit. I know he's been training with us, or I heard earlier on today that he's been training with us since the start of the week. But listen, if this is a sign of things to come, you know, my group chats, like all my mates are Dunfermline fans, obviously, they're absolutely on fire just now. We're like, what is happening to us? What is happening?
It is incredible, Marvin. 2019, he's part of the Tottenham squad that reaches the Champions League final. When he was here, he was one of Celtic's top players. He scored against Barcelona, and he's now going to go and try and help Neil Lennon keep Dunfermline in the Championship.
Yeah, it's a massive signing. It really, really is. And that would have been half of the draw of getting somebody like Neil Lennon. You know, the contacts that he does have, you know, by all accounts, and they've proven it now that Dunfermline aren't short of a bob or two. So, you know, in terms of that. And Stephen's right. I think it's just the experience that he'll add in there. You know, I've watched Dunfermline a couple of times working on their games. And it seems whenever they concede, they've got so many young players, they just seem to crumble. I think just having that experienced player that can sit in the middle of the park, whether he's not played since July or whatever it might be, his fitness is not going to be where it should be, but he'll have enough know-how to get around the pitch, and it'll be about getting more out of the players who are around him. So you have Neil Lennon on the side who will manage, and, you know, Victor will be on the pitch, you know, trying to do exactly the same thing.
Even centre-back. Mm-hmm. He could even play at centre-back there. Stephen says there, it should be head and shoulders above everything else in that league. It's fitness. It's a big bit of experience coming in as well. And Marv's right. you know, Neil Lennon, I think he said he was a wee bit reluctant until he got talking to the owners. So obviously excited him, and you know, he can tap into his network there, and he's bringing this guy in. So
it's funny. It's funny you say that, because I went to Neil Lennon's press conference yesterday. It was long.
Yeah.
You go to, you know, new manager press conferences, you tend to tick all those same boxes about how it feels to be here and the challenge and your plans. But it never really occurred to me or any of us to say, "Are you going to get the contacts book out and get any of your former Celtic players?" I saw someone tweeting that Virgil van Dijk's out of contract in the summer. That might be a stretch too far. Stephen, as a package deal, Neil Lennon and now Victor Wanyama. What does that say about the commitment that the new owner is showing here?
Yeah, well, I think it was interesting. Obviously, you said you were at the press conference yesterday. There was a line that sort of stuck out for me as well, that Neil Lennon came out with. He said when he spoke to the owner, he said that Dunfermline had got under his skin. Now, obviously, this guy's not a Dunfermline supporter. He was obviously looking to invest in Scottish football. I think he's got Cordoba over in Spain. I think he's got a team in Bulgaria and stuff as well. And it's all about using data analytics to bring in players to sell them on. I mean, that's going to be the model going forward. And obviously, Victor Wanyama doesn't really fit into that. It's more of a short-term, can we just get out of this mess that we're in? But he's obviously not scared to put his hand in his pocket. I know there's a couple of big sponsorships on the way as well. So I think if we can stay up this season, and I think one of the reasons he's brought Neil Lennon in is not precise, not probably because his time at Celtic necessarily, but because his time at Hibs. You know, when he got Hibs up, first time of asking, out of the Championship after they'd been there for a couple of seasons, he got them out straight away against a decent Dundee United side. And then he had them finishing fourth in the Premiership the season after. And I think they were only 3 or 4 points off his second, actually. Now, yeah. Obviously, that's wild chat for Dunfermline fans at this moment in time. But I've got no doubt that the owners, that's what they're thinking at this stage. But obviously, the immediate thing is to get out of the mess that we're in just now. And that starts with Ayr United on Saturday. I mean, I think Dunfermline are going to take a absolutely huge crowd down to Somerset now, because it's amazing what a week can do. The whole place feels galvanised. There's a bit of excitement, positivity, and that might just be enough to get us out of the mess.
And of course, Scott Brown on the dugout. Victor Wanyama can maybe on the pitch. Incredible. Marvin, the owner, James Bordy's he's a gambler.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see that sort of mindset maybe play out. Like, there are no guarantees in football, but you go and get Neil Lennon, you go and get Victor Wanyama, you need to stay up. You know, that you're to, I can't believe I'm going to lean so shamelessly into the cliche given that he's a poker player, but you're going all in on that and hoping that it works for you, aren't you?
Yeah, 100%. I don't think he'll be the only signing that they make as well. By all accounts, I think there's going to be another couple players coming in, free transfers, that are going to kind of shock people. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me at all. As I said, I don't think Neil Lennon would have went into the job unless he had these assurances that he could bring players in. And, you know, if Dunfermline are to stay up, I think there's massive plans for next season as well.
Hold on. So you're telling me that Neil Lennon might sign more of his old past at midfield enforcers?
Not old though.
Is there something you want to tell us?
He's lined up next.
Right. Another 12 kg till he's in, I'm in.
Stephen Mill, leave us with one name. If it's not Victor Wanyama, what's the other most outlandish signing in Scottish football history?
Oh, well, I mean, Dunfermline sort of dabbled with this a wee bit back in the day as well. I think Diego Maradona Jr. was on trial at Dunfermline back in the day. But he didn't actually sign with us. Terrible West, we were linked with.
Nice.
The big Nigerian centre-half. But, I mean, it's hard to look past Ravenelli at Dundee because he actually signed.
That's true. That's a good shout. Let's get Jim Duffy on to get his memories of that. Thank you to Stephen Miller, colleague, giving us all things Dunfermline and Victor Wanyama. If you're a Dunfermline fan or you've got thoughts on Victor Wanyama, give us a call, send us a tweet. And to everybody else, just a bit of fun to keep us going on a quiet night in the middle of International Week. What is the most outlandish signing in Scottish football? Or give us a few, just chuck some names in. Where does Victor Wanyama rank? Rangers fans asked you as well, if the price for Vladislav Cherny is $5.5 million, what are you saying? Give us a call and we'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley is here, so Simon Donnelly, and we're waiting on you to get in touch. 0141 951 1025. Give us your thoughts tonight, whether it is looking ahead to the return of the top flight after the international break. We can. We've got some signing news that I just didn't see coming today, I must admit. When I woke up, I did not expect Victor Wanyama to Dunfermline to be one of the talking points. So we're just having a bit of fun with it, asking your reaction, but also looking for as many suggestions as possible to Scottish football's most outlandish signings ever. Same names keep coming up, really. I'm hoping we can branch out, but John Donnelly's another. He says Ravenelli to Dundee has to be the most outlandish ever. I think that's not a bad shout, is it? When you look at his CV at that point, I mean, did he not win? He was, you know, won like
Champions League,
Serie A and stuff, yeah, with Champions League with Juve. Obviously went to Middlesbrough. I think he played for Lazio only like 2-3 years
many
before
games,
he went to Dundee.
For Dundee.
I also know how old he was when he went there. Do you know how old he was?
He played. Only five, actually. I think six.
Five or six games.
I'd
say it'd be mid-30s at the time. Oh, was he?
Incredible. Anyway, 01419511025. That's the number you need. Lots of your tweeting, your suggestions in there as well, which is absolutely fine. Let's bring in John, who's on the line. How are you, John?
I'm good, Gordon. Thanks very much for taking my call.
That's our pleasure. What made you call?
Well, I wasn't expecting to call tonight, but when I was driving home and heard the signing of Wanyama, I felt I had to give a call. I was actually on a family holiday in the summer in Montreal, and myself and my three children went to watch Montreal against Atlanta, and there was only two or three players that whose names I recognised, and Wanyama was the captain of Montreal. And I hate to burst the bubble of the previous caller, but Wanyama looked absolutely done at that point. He couldn't get around the pitch. Now, bear in mind that the pace of the MLS was quite considerably less than what he'll be expected in the Championship. I just cannot see how Victor Wanyama is going to have any sort of impact when he comes to Dunfermline. I heard Sid say that he might play centre-half. If he plays as a six, he certainly does not have the legs to get around the pitch in any way, shape or form. And he actually also looked pretty reluctant to tackle when he was playing for Montreal. So I have pretty grave concerns for the signing. And I hope I'm proved wrong because I got a soft spot for Dunfermline, but I don't think this is the marquee signing that they should be looking for.
See, that's the beauty of this show, because it reaches far and wide. Somebody who saw Victor Wanyama,
I thought that was going to be a positive,
and has not been seduced by the name and the CV and the reputation.
You know, that sounded like a scout reporter myself when I used to play. He just said that. Man,
you have to leave open the possibility that John is completely right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah. he's seen him. It might be, I don't know, the standard of that league might be quicker than the Championship. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it'd be quicker than the Championship.
Right, so
yeah.
Maybe that was the issue. He hasn't played a lot. I just feel somebody of.
Do you think it will be?
Yeah.
No, but like, is the Championship. No, I know what you mean, but I just wonder if. Is the. You know, the Championship's like mad frantic, though.
Yeah, no, I would say the pace of the game, MLS would definitely, without you doubt, so? Be higher. Like, yeah. Being in the midst of it, I think it would be higher.
Better standard of forward players, well,
yeah, and just the general movements of people. I genuinely think, listen, I get what John's saying there, and listen, it's not going to be, you know, Wanyama that was at Celtic, like we said, or Tottenham or anything like that, but I think at 33 years old, I just think that experience can be so important. You know, if he's coming into, you know, the top flight here, then, you know, maybe he would really struggle. But I think just in the Championship, of the games I've seen, I think having that experience, play, you get other people to do your running. You know, when you get to a certain age, and Si would have been the same. You know, when I got older and in my career, I was lucky to have players around me that could run. And a lot of it's about communication and being in the right position. And listen, his reading of the game, he'll be, you know, seeing where players are going to pass it before they've even passed it. So he won't need to be flying around. He just needs to be in good positions. If he tries to be a box-to-box, obviously it's very, very different. But I imagine he'll go in there, be a physical presence for Lenny. You know, he'll communicate, he'll get in the right positions, and he'll get the team structures to be correct. And then you let the younger players go and do the running and the attacking and, you know, majority of the hard work.
Is that worth bearing in mind, John? I'd love to stick up for the Scottish Championship, but it probably is a good bit below the level of the MLS, no?
Well, certainly the match I saw was on a beautiful evening. It was roasting hot, and the pace of the game was absolutely pedestrian. There was, and you know, very few players were getting on the park particularly well. I would have said that the, you know, having watched a fair bit of the Friday night Championship football on the telly, the pace is, you know, quite considerably higher. That's not to say that the standard's massively higher, but certainly Wanyama, with his leadership and his nous and know-how, he might be able to dictate the pace of the game. But for me, I just think this could be a really poor signing for Dunfermline, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a heck of a strategy, because Stephen, who we spoke to earlier, is right. You know, the whole point of James Board coming on board, there was supposed to be this analytical approach to things that a lot of clubs are going for now. They really wanted Michael Tidzer. They went after Michael Tidzer. And we said that last week, not because Michael Tidzer was 10 points clear in the League One, because he wasn't, nowhere near it. They saw something there about a style, about working with young players. So they go after him. They pay compensation for him because he's a player at Kelty as well. Yeah. Then he gets 8 league games. He gets moved on. I'm assuming, no offence to Neil Lennon, but I don't think he would be one that the analytics would throw up. That's just more of an obvious kind of like, well, look at what this guy's done. He can come in and get a tune. And again, do your analytics point you to Victor Wanyama? No, that's probably a Neil Lennon one. So it's quite a quick change in strategy from Dunfermline.
Yeah, it's about winning. Obviously, I don't have the stats in front of me for Neil Lennon, but one thing he has done is he got Hibs promoted in a squad that I was in, and one of the quarters, Stephen said it earlier, you know, we then went on to finish, I think it was in third place and whatever else. I think we got the joint record points total as well the season after that. So he knows how to win, you know, and that's why he's in there. First and foremost, he needs to save them, and I believe he will. Got no doubt about it. And then if he's got a budget that allows him to go out there and compete with the other teams, then I'm sure his team will be up there again. He just has a way about him. You know, I've always said it in terms of Neil Lennon, the way he is and how he motivates you for games. I've never seen anything like it. He has a real passion for the game. As he said, he was hungry to come back to the UK and manage here again.
What do you mean? But I've heard that, you know, a lot about just how good a motivator he is. Just a bit, give us an insight into specifically what that, yeah, what that looks like and what it was like, because we spoke about this last night, where if you've got 7 games to go, that's probably going to be the most important thing. You're not going to come in with a wildly new game plan. You're not going to get players fitter. You're not going to improve their technique, you know, in 7 games. So
yeah, I remember we played in an Edinburgh derby, you know, and we were at Easter Road, and probably, you know, a couple of minutes before we were due to go out, obviously all the players, you got your strips on and everything else, and he made us take our strips off, and you know, he said, like, turn it over and then obviously see your name on the back of it and, you know, what it meant to your family and everything else and what you're going out there to do it for. Then he made us turn the shirts over and said, also the badge. He said, all those people who are out there would give everything they possibly can to be in the position that you're in. And that's this in summarising it, really. But it made you want to run through brick walls. You know, he had a real togetherness. He signed experienced players. He brought in, we had Grant Holt come in as a striker. I mean, he'd probably seen better days as well, but that experience that he brought in today, he had a winning mentality. He was still hungry to succeed in football, whether he was starting or a substitute. And then he had the younger players there and there as well. So, listen, he always gets a good blend. He knows how to win games of football. He knows how to motivate his teams 100%. And as I said, you know, that's a good sign in the coup for Dunfermline.
Let me throw one on you, John, because you're a Rangers fan as well, is that right?
I am, yeah.
Reports coming out tonight that 5.5 million would be the price for Václav Černý. Does that move it into no-brainer territory, or how do you feel?
Yeah, I think so. I think that would be a fee that's suitable for a player his quality, and he's proven to be, you know, very good for Rangers, particularly in some of the big games. I've been on the phone before, though, and I'm really keen to promote the youth within Scotland and within Rangers too, so I do think he might then stifle some opportunities for some of the younger players to come through at Ibrox.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think in terms of the signing of £5.5 million, I said it earlier, that for me it's a no-brainer. I get what John means, and I'm exactly the same in terms of seeing young players come through, but these young players have to be good enough. You know, when you go out there and you play for Rangers, or you go out there and you play for Celtic, you have to be good enough to keep your place in the team. You don't just get given that.
Working with them as well, Marv, speaking from experience, young boys working with that calibre of player,
yeah,
helps as well, day in, day out. I think we spoke about it last week, and it was 7 million was quoted. I think 5.5 for Černý, I keep saying, I think that he's their best performer. And I think youth will benefit working alongside guys like that day in, day out.
Because I suppose, you know, we spoke about it before, it's hard to second guess anything with the ownership. We don't know how they just might come in. Just no idea, but might say that that's just not the strategy anymore. All signings that are worth it, you know, if there's a big outlay in a player, they need to be a certain age. We just don't know. Having said that, at 5.5 million, you've got someone who in theory should be a safe bet to contribute in the league. Someone did mention Ryan Kent and said that he got worse when he signed, so fair enough. But you're then, I know it's a big fee for Rangers, but you're not even that much higher than, say, what they've paid for Barami or, you know, players of that, Yilmaz, it's kind of in the same ballpark.
Danilo as well.
As those fees, isn't it?
That's the thing, and it's not really pushing the boat out for, you know, the current regime, as you said there, because they've signed players that have been in and around this amount. And listen, Czerny's outperformed all of them. I think if your new owner's coming in, regardless of how you see things and what you want to do going forward, I think what you want to do straight away is get the fans on side. How do you do that? By signing a player like Czerny that's only costing $5.5 million, and all of a sudden, you know, supporters are on side of you straight away. So that's why I think they'll do it. I agree with you, Gordon. They might come in and say, we want to sign players that are 25 and under, so we can sell them on as a resale value. But sometimes, like we see with Dunfermline with Neil Lennon, you have to go away from that. And I think Rangers will do that if they can afford to get the deal over the line.
Is that a fair point, John, just trying to strike that balance?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I suppose it goes back to Victor Wanyama as well. You know, having players of that level of professionalism might just bring on Dunfermline players, and same with Czerny at Rangers might bring on the young players in the way we want them to do. So I totally agree.
Don't get me wrong, there are no guarantees. Like we said earlier, just because you have a good loan spell doesn't mean you will be good. But if we're going to use Ryan Kent as an example of when it doesn't necessarily work the way you think it's going to, Simon, your side of the city would point to Jota, to Cameron Carter-Vickers, certainly.
Exactly.
For working out.
Yeah, but on to be terrific players, and Jota's back for a second stint. I just think it's a no-brainer, Gordon, with Czerny. I really do.
Was Edouard as well? Did he come on loan and then sign permanently? He was another one, wasn't he?
Possibly.
Yeah. Suppose as well with Czerny, there's that... the progression it's a bit like he's kind of got better as the season's gone on as well. You know, it's not like...
I mean, I know he's not been there as long as Kent, I think he's a better player than Ryan Kent. Simple. But his numbers are better as well.
He scored for Czech Republic, didn't he?
He scored the other night, albeit it was Gibraltar, but nevertheless, he's still playing at an international level there with the Czechs. I just think it's a no-brainer to go and get him.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. As I said, I think it would be a big signing for them. And do you know what I liked about him as well? When he had that kind of a bit of an argument with the fans, because it showed that he cared. He wasn't just coming here on loan and just going through the motions. Oh, okay, I'm not playing while you're booming, I'm just going to walk off. He gave a little bit back.
It'd have been easy to hide as well.
Of course
at that
it would
point.
Have.
So I think the mentality is there as well with him.
I think he likes that. I think he's the whole water bottle thing aside. Yeah. I think he likes a wee. So the common one, see from a media perspective, if you call him Vaclav. He like corrects you like really passively aggressive straight away. But luckily someone had told me this, so I think it was right after he signed, and I knew it, and I was prepared, but I've heard it quite a few times. When you say Vaclav, he goes Vaclav.
I like that.
Not happy.
I let you know
people out. Thank you to John. Some really good points made by John, bursting the bubble of every Dunfermline fan out there. He says Wanyama's hopeless, he's past it. I'm being a bit cruel there, I'm putting words in John's mouth, but anyway, some unbelievable responses on Twitter to like Scottish football's outlandish signings. So many are going Ravenelli, right? Potzog, David, others all going there. Here's one maybe a bit. Is this your era, Simon? Chris Waddle to Falkirk.
A wee bit before me, but I do remember Chris Waddle going to Falkirk. Yeah, bizarrely, because wonderful footballer, Newcastle, Spurs, and
played on the continent as
brief
well.
Brief spell at Brockville.
What a place! Did you ever play then with any out and ever have a signing at a club you were at and things like that?
No, but I almost had at Partick Thistle. I was just trying to work this out. Dick Campbell signed me at Partick Thistle, and we had Richard Goff in training with us.
Seriously?
For a week, weirdly enough. Okay. And I worked it out there in the break that he must have been 43, 44.
Wow.
And I think he could still have performed. We won the championship. He was very, very fit. We did a week's training and he didn't look out of place in there. Squad, I don't know what that says for our squad.
What about when you went into coaching? Did we ever nearly sign anyone or sign anyone?
We had one as well there at Partick when me and Jackie took over. Jackie's old teammate turned up at the Firhill complex.
Wasn't Henrik, was it?
It was unfortunately not. It was Bobo Baldy.
Seriously,
he turned up, and I remember thinking, could we maybe get him? Could we maybe get him, Jackie? But never materialised. So that was the one that got away. Big Bobo at Firhill.
Some good ones going way back. Like Matty says, George Best going to Hibs. Quite a while ago. Julian Faubert, former Real Madrid at Kilmarnock, was an outlandish one, says Ryan. Absolutely. Can't disagree with that. Tartan Ball says, when Dundee had Caniggia, Ravenelli, and Kitzbaya.
Yeah.
So some good ones good ones coming in. Right, what are Scottish football's most outlandish signings, and will they be knocked off top spot by Victor Wanyama to Dunfermline? Would you sign Václav Černý for 5.5 million, Rangers fans? And anything else that's out there, call now, we'll get you next.
Oh my god.
Cash Dash.
Brilliant stuff, man.
£500,000, £500,000. That is what is up for grabs here. Do not miss out on that. Just imagine the guilt, the regret, if you missed out on it. Text yes to 61025. If you do that, you get 5 for 1 on your first text entry. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate, and you can enter on our website for 250 as well, or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rayo Network competition are on our website, with the lines closing at 5pm on Friday. So do not miss out for your chance to win £500,000. Text yes to 61025.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley are here primarily reacting to the signing of Victor Wanyama to Dunfermline. Not confirmed yet, actually. I think we're all just taking it as it's going to happen. I think it certainly is. So we're asking you for the other examples of outlandish signings the Scottish football teams have made. Just before the travel there, we had a Rangers fan, and we're asking you, Rangers fans, if it's 5.5 million, as is being reported tonight, to get Václav Černý, is it a no-brainer? Marvin Bartley says yes. Even Simon Donnelly agrees. I wonder how you think. 0141 951 1025. So many good ones coming in on Twitter. I said it before the break, I can barely keep up with all the good suggestions about kind of big name players that have ended up in strange corners of Scottish football. Russell Gordon says, apparently back in the day, Dumbarton tried to sign Johan Cruyff.
What?
Quite remarkable, I have to say. But I like this one from Alan Cassidy. He says, Wanyama isn't even the biggest Victor to sign for a Scottish team. Victor Munoz signed for St Mirren in 91, former Barca, Zaragoza, Sampdoria fullback, 60 caps for Spain.
Yeah.
A Victor so good, he was simply called Victor. Top class, says Alan Cassidy. I like that. I like that a lot. Well done to Alan. Here's one that no one will really remember, but just from my own personal one. Side Sheba to Motherwell, says Andrew Miller. I remember that. It takes me back
to your youth. Let me know who he is.
Exactly. No. You're not cultured enough. Anyway, let's go back to the phones. Andy's on there. How's it going, Andy? Hi, Andy. Can you hear us? Well, maybe we don't have Andy. I thought we did.
He's just gone.
False advertising. I thought we had Andy on the line to give us his pearls of wisdom. He's not there actually. Never mind. That's my fault.
Decided to leave us.
He's gone.
It's fine.
He had a really good point to make as well. I'm sure of it. You ever part of a team that signed anyone that you thought, where on earth have we pulled this from?
No, obviously when I went to Bournemouth and signed at Bournemouth, Darren Anderson was there. So that's probably the only one that I've probably played with that I thought.
What age would he have been at that point?
Late 30s. Yeah. And honestly, I'm still unbelievable. Like, couldn't run. It sounds like what John was describing with Wanyama. He couldn't run at all, but give him the ball and he would keep it, he would open play up. And I remember one day he just retired, like in the middle of the season. Never forget it, we were away at Luton and we had a guy called Josh McCoy who was a striker. And the manager at the time played Josh McCoy centre midfield ahead of Darren Anderton. So me and him are sitting on the bench and he's like, I'm retiring. And I'm sitting there like,
no,
yeah, the game's going on. He's like, no, I'm done. And I'm like, right. He's like, no, I'm retiring. That's me done. And he was true to his word.
Because that lad was on.
Yeah, he's just like, what's going on? He's like, what's the point in this? I'm not doing this. I think it was Jimmy Quinn was a manager. And he just, that was him. He retired. He had a leave and do in Southampton, paid for all the lads to go. He was brilliant though. Like, see, to have like around the dressing room and that experience. And I think I said it before, he used to say like, first person to smash someone was like 50 quid. First person to win a header was like 100 quid. And see his stories that he had, they were brilliant. Like ones with Sir Alex Ferguson and him going home and him actually being at his house, speaking to his dad, saying that he wanted to sign Daz, and he just didn't end up going in the end. But yeah, listen, some of the life stories from him were...
United wanted to sign him.
Yeah, they wanted to sign him because he's always known as sick note as well, and that's one thing that really frustrates him because he actually played quite a lot of games. So, but yeah, listen, late 30s, serious player, couldn't run, but...
Ian is on the line. Ian's a St Mirren fan. Ian, I read out a tweet there and I think I've stolen your thunder, but educate me then, because it's before my time.
That's right. I've been watching St Mirren for about 65 years, and when we signed Victor from Barcelona, that was headline news at that time. But the thing I remember about him was, although he was a class player and you could see the class that he had, I seem to remember we played Stranraer in the Scottish Cup down at Stranraer, and going down there and seeing this guy strolling through the game. But he always gave everything. He was always, he didn't just, you know, there for a holiday. Mm-hmm. And I thought, here's this guy that's probably played in front of 100,000 fans, internationals, etc. And here he is turning out in front of 2,000 fans down at Stranraer. And it was just real class, real great player.
That's the bit of it that you forget, actually, I suppose, is you're forgetting about what it's like for the player. We're thinking, what's it like for Dunfermline? What's it like for Scottish football?
What year was that, Ian?
It was the 90s, early 90s.
I think I remember Victor playing against Scotland for Spain.
Aye,
maybe
possibly.
Before that.
Yeah.
Was there something to do with Steve Archibald? Was that not the connection?
Yeah, Steve Archibald signed as well.
Yeah.
And there was kind of rumours that he was so much per goal, so many £1,000 per goal, like that, something like that. And then we get another player that really surprised me was when we signed Roy Aitken for Celtic.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Because I can remember Roy Aitken had a reputation just as being a right hard, you know, no-nonsense player. But I can remember watching him at St Mirren, and he just strolled through games.
Ian, that's a good point. Ian, sorry to interrupt you. It's a good point. I played at Queen's Park for 6 months before I went to Celtic, and we played St Mirren Reserves at Love Street, and Roy Aitken was the best player in the park.
Yeah, listen.
By a country mile. And he must have been coming to end his career at St Mirren, possibly. He was a stick out.
I was thinking about the culture shock bit of it. So Victor Wanyama goes to Ayr United potentially at the weekend. He's got quite a few home games left, and a trip to Queen's Park, that's easy. I've been there before.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's too easy. Send him somewhere mad.
End of the season, Capello, meet Dougie Emery.
Was that the last game? I've only got the first six. So you're right. Yeah, you're right.
He'd be like, "What's this guy? Who is this guy on the side?"
That's your friend you're talking about.
Yeah, but I love him, but he's crazy.
Yeah, Capello could be quite a eye opener, maybe.
Yeah,
good old fashioned.
I don't have loads of knowledge, but I assume from what we see over here that even if you've got question marks about the level, as the previous caller did, the facilities and stuff in the MLS will be top, won't they?
Yeah, that's the thing. They'll be top draw. And he probably will be surprised, because even when he was at Celtic, I mean, outside of maybe the League Cup and Scottish Cup, he wouldn't have seen a lot of these grounds. So, yeah, listen, he's obviously coming over for, no disrespect to Dunfermline, he's coming over for the manager, isn't he? He's coming to do him a turn and to keep him up. But, yeah, he will be definitely. Gordon, I was surprised. I came up from England and my first game was Dumbarton away, and just seeing that one stand. And I'd played non-league, and like that ground's worse than the non-league grounds I used to play in. So, yeah.
Did you ever play at Brecon with a hedge?
Yeah, I actually did. Yeah. I actually did, yeah. But I was used to it by then. By the time I played at Brecon, I'd been in Scotland for a few years.
Stand behind the goal and a hedge up the side.
Yeah.
Did you know that Simon was Brecon assistant for 40 days?
It was 42.
No, I didn't know that. What happened?
42.
Was it you and Mark Wilson, actually, wasn't it?
I do know that. Yeah. I've kind of tried to forget that.
Speak about it in a break.
Before we let you go, Ian, let's bring it up to the present day. 8th, but only 4 points off the top 6. Can you make it?
It's one of the day ones. We've got Kilmarnock at the weekend, and we've not got a good record against them, so I'd like to think we could change that this weekend. That's going to be a big one, because all the teams down there are all just jumping. You know, you jump up 3 places, then you drop down 3 places. So I think it can go either way.
Yeah, and lots of them kind of playing each other. You obviously get that after the split, but even going into it, you know,
we've got Dundee away, and then Ross County at home as well. So I mean, potentially you're looking at 9 points, but realistically, you know, 6 or 7 would be probably enough.
Is Murder being a fan of a team of that size? I can speak from experience, because you sometimes look at 3 fixtures and think, we could get 7-9 points there, or we could get 0. Depends how you feel on that.
And then all those teams jump above
on
you
on that given day. Thank you to Ian, bringing back some good memories there. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Quite a lot of drama on Beat the Pundit recently. I just...
Good.
Feel like it's been
a
roller coaster.
And the caller who called in about Daz, I'm in agreement with as well.
Did you hear Ross McCormack on the tiebreaker last night?
I did, yeah.
Oh, he had one.
Oh no! I just saw his thing. He's starting a petition. Did you not know?
Yeah, because get rid of it. we went to a tiebreaker to see how many penalties have been given in the Premiership this season. They said 180.
He went ridiculously high.
He was
also questioning your
tossing technique.
Tossing technique, yes.
Enough about
not the
that.
First time.
Anyway, the lines close at 7. If you want to take on Marvin Bartley or Simon Donnelly on Beat the Pundit, 0141 951 1025. Get in touch.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the second part of the second hour, I should say, of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley. We're asking you what you make of Victor Wanyama signing for Dunfermline. I just love the notion that someone might just have turned the radio on, you know, been out all day, not been on social media, haven't heard the news. What do you make of it? And what are the other examples of outlandish, memorable signings that your team has made in Scottish football? Reports tonight suggesting the price for Václav Černý, Rangers fans, is 5.5 million. Is that a no-brainer or not? The way Marvin Bartley says it is. Celtic fans, Kasper Schmeichel, anything else doing for you? Give us a call. There, Dunfermline have now confirmed it as well, which I'm glad of, because the full first hour of this show would have been ruined. But I was reliably informed that it would definitely happen. So give us a call. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. Who would you rather? Which one of you two would rather play? Anyone feeling? Because you had a nightmare last week, didn't you?
A shocker.
Not like him.
I went up the road, and my 16-year-old came down. He'd watched it on YouTube and hammered me. Basically.
So nines, get your own back and do well tonight.
Nah, I was watching Ross McCormack last night. Sometimes you just get into
that rut.
Yes. And I feel him in it just now.
Well, Roscoe will be in there with you, so he'll be fine.
Why do you think you were so bad?
But I think panic sets in after the first couple if you don't get them, and then quite obviously stop listening to your questions. That helps if you listen to the question.
Was it Queen's Park that you just randomly...
Queen's Park, yeah. How do you remember?
Mark is in Pollock. How's it going, Mark?
I'm all right, thanks.
Good stuff. Have you ever played before?
I think so, but I can't remember.
Oh, that's a good sign. Huh?
That's a first. Yeah. That's genuinely a first. You think you've played, but you can't remember.
Aye.
Must have lost.
That's amazing. That's honestly so good. Because do you know what's quite humbling? Because there was me thinking that this is a once in a lifetime experience for people that they would remember forever.
Aye.
If you'd have won, you'd remember it. So I reckon Mark must have lost.
Do you have a signed ball from us in your house?
No, I don't.
Definitely.
Right, so
not.
He either lost or he hasn't played before.
I'm going with he lost.
It's incredible. That is the first I've heard that. Good on you, Mark. Right, heads it will be Simon Donnelly, who was rubbish last week. Tails, it will be Marvin Bartley. Let's see how we go.
Drop or toss.
It's tails.
Oh, shoot.
You ready for this, Marvin?
Yeah, of course.
No offence, but you're playing against someone who can't remember if they've played before.
Well, it should be all right.
Right, let's give Marvin something else to listen to. Mark, you have 30 seconds. You may or may not remember from when you did or didn't play last time. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Right, so your 30 seconds goes on the clock and your time starts now. Neil Lennon's first game as Dunfermline manager is against who? Who is Scotland men's team's next game against?
Greece.
Who is the captain of Hearts?
Lauren Shankland.
Grant Gillespie is the captain of which Scottish Championship side?
Falkirk.
Name any country where the 2032 Euros are being held.
Spain.
What nationality is Václav Černý?
Austrian.
Rory the Rover is the mascot of which Scottish Championship side?
Rafe Rovers.
Okay, let's bring him back. Marvin Bartley, can you hear us?
I can.
What was that first song?
It was George Michael, I think. Just kicking him.
Decent. What, you time for two songs there?
Yeah, we got like a little bit of a crossover.
You ready?
Yeah.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Neil Lennon's first game as Dunfermline manager is against who?
United.
Who do Scotland men's team play next?
Iceland.
Who is the captain of Hearts?
Lawrence Shankland.
Grant Gillespie is the captain of which Scottish Championship side?
Morton.
Name any country where the 2032 Euros will be held.
Portugal.
What nationality is Václav Černý?
Czech.
Rory the Rover is the mascot of which Scottish Championship side?
Dunfermline.
honestly. What do you think, Mark?
I think it's tight. I think Marvin's beat me.
Neil Lennon's first game, easiest one. We've been talking about it for a couple of days now. Ayr United, you both got it 1-1. Scotland's next game is against Iceland. I can see where Mark was going, because we are due to play Greece, but first up Iceland and Liechtenstein in a friendly. And actually, Mark, as fate would have it, Denmark and Belarus before we play.
It's because the 21s lost to them 6-1 yesterday, and he's like,
what about
the
that?
First
seriously
them. Yeah. Next. That's how he's not new.
I know there's a lot of negativity around, but
it's terrible, wasn't it?
21s,
I think the 17s won 7, didn't they?
Shouldn't really care about the results that much at times. If you're developing players, but you can't be losing 6-1 to Iceland.
No,
can you?
No, it's disappointing.
Seriously,
disappointing. I was a wee bit surprised as well. So yeah, you kind of be going. I think I listened to Scott Gemmell. He said they're a wee bit better prepared, Iceland, at the moment.
A wee bit? Sounds like a big bit to me.
I know, disappointing.
Anyway, right, so Marvin goes 2-1 in front. You both knew that Lawrence Shankland is the captain. I was going to say capital, is the captain of Hearts. So Marvin stays 1 in front. I should have taken this one out, Mark. You know, Dougie Imrie's his pal, and he was bound to get this. Grant Gillespie is at Morton. So Marvin goes 2 in front. Fair play if you knew the 2032 Euros, because I don't think I would have. Italy and Turkey.
Oh,
no chance.
Pass. Give me a chance.
So Marvin stays 2 up, and then Václav Černý's from the Czech Republic. Mark, you said Austria, so Marvin's stretching off into the distance.
Definitely close game.
I'll give Mark the next one.
No. What do you mean? What was his answer, please? I'm not giving anybody anything.
They lost anyway.
No, it doesn't matter.
Rory the Rover. You deserve points off for this. The clue's in the title.
I know.
Well, Rover. Rover.
Yeah.
Wraith Rovers.
That's fine.
Dunfermline.
I had no idea. And it's not going to be too Dunfermline either.
Also, Dunfermline's mascot is one of the most famous in Scotland. Sammy the Tammy. Sammy. See?
Oh, Mark, if you've got that, you'd have been all right, Mark.
I'm giving Mark extra points.
So, what did Mark say?
He did the old Albi Wraith Rovers.
Oh, no, we can't have that.
Doesn't matter. He won anyway. Who's your team, Mark?
Celtic.
What are you thinking about this potential injury to Kasper Schmeichel?
Well, I've seen the producer there. Well, what if let's go into the game? I know he's got a hard game, but he's got to learn how to do it. He's got to take care of Schmeichel.
It's a fair point. You know, quite often you get cup goalies, don't you? Sinisalo played against Wraith, but that's it. It's the only one appearance. And I know he is a Finland international, but he's not the first choice. He's not been playing for Finland either. So one game all season, Simon. If you're going to get a run in the team, it usually comes due to injury. Liam Kelly got in when Jack Butland got injured. There are various examples. So
it's a great opportunity for him. As a goalkeeper, you have to be very patient at times, and Schmeichel's been the number one. He's been a big influence almost immediately at Celtic after Hart. But we're at the business end of the season. There's some big games coming up there. You've got semi-finals and different things. You know, it's a great opportunity for him to come in and stake his claim.
Suppose, Marvin, we don't know the extent of the injury. That's the point. Yeah. But I think there's at the moment, the Celtic fans maybe are fearing that it's a bit more long term, just because you're hearing one or two rumours. You said he was in a lot of pain. It might not be, but worst case scenario, it's not going to cost Celtic the league, is it?
No, I could go and go for Celtic between now and the end of the season.
Oh, steady, don't take it too
That'd
far.
Be fine.
That's ridiculous. He'll need to go. Say Sinisalo stays in the end of the season again, totally hypothetical, he'd need to go to Ibrox.
Mm-hmm.
Liam Kelly came in and played when the sides met earlier this season. And then you're looking at the Scottish Cup. I know it's not to underestimate the importance of Kasper Schmeichel, because all the way he starts moves with the ball at his feet, but Celtic's second choice keeper should be enough to see them over any line really from here, shouldn't it?
100%. And listen, if you're at Celtic Football Club, you have to be ready to play at any time. You know, we saw it with Roski going in at centre half against Rangers the other day and doing extremely well after not playing since last May. So that should have been wake up call to any player if anyone thought they could just coast and not be playing. And also, when you're on the bench, and Simon will tell you this, you want to play. You always be thinking, I could do that better. Now the opportunity comes. So listen, I'm sure he'll be relishing it. Obviously, he doesn't wish ill to anyone and doesn't, you know, want Schmeichel to recover as quickly as he possibly can. But if it's one game or if it's 10 games that he goes in for, then, you know, I'm sure he'll be able to back himself. And listen, if he can't do it now, Gordon, then it lets Celtic know that maybe we need to get another number two, because he has to have somebody there that's reliable, that can go in when need be. And as I said, his opportunity is going to come now.
Because in many ways, Simon, should Celtic's Celtic's number two should start for every other team nearly. Does that make sense? Or there or thereabouts? That should be the kind of level, is it not? If you're looking at the way their squad depth operates.
Possibly, yeah, possibly. But an outfield player. I just think with, you know, whatever games are left, I think Celtic are pretty strong in the league. They've got the semi-final coming up. It's a disappointment for Schmeichel because he's potentially missing out in these games. But it's the guy's job. He's to be ready, and as Marv says, Erna Vrotsky came in and I thought was Celtic's best player against Rangers, settling that back line, showed that he'd prepared well, ready to come in, and it shouldn't be any different for Sinny Sarlo.
Mark, you looking forward to Celtic getting back into action? That's a long time to stew over a defeat like that one before the break, isn't it?
I go to Scotland games, but nothing can beat domestic football. Can I say something to Marvin?
Of course you can.
If I go, I've been tweeting him a couple of weeks ago saying I was going to come on and beat him, and now he's bet me.
Oh.
Yeah.
I admire Mark because he could have just kept that a secret.
No, but Mark knows that I know.
Or did you know?
Yeah. Mark, that's great honesty from you, mate, because I was going to tweet you after the show and say, oh, you didn't mention that, did you, on there? So great honesty from you.
That was gracious of you, because you are not gracious.
Yeah, but I was letting him get to the end of the call, and it did come in the end. So I get that a lot, though. A lot of people say they're going to call up and beat me, and, you know, some say they hope to play Simon Donnelly for obvious reasons. So.
They must think you're weak.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a free sign ball. Mm.
Thank you to Mark. Same sort of point or question to you, Simon. We always talk about, does a break come at a good time or a bad time? And it depends if you're in a good run or a bad run or you get injuries. But Brendan Rodgers will have jetted off Monday morning on the back of losing again to Rangers.
Horrible. You much prefer it the other way about. And now you're hoping that, you know, the boys will be back ready to go again and try and put that defeat behind you. But yeah, it's a long time, and it'll be a long time for the fans as well. I said it last week when the Scotland games come about, I'm as excited as anybody else. But now we're ready to get back to the domestic stuff, and I'm sure the Celtic fans will, you know, be looking forward to the weekend and hopefully a positive result against Hearts.
Do you not think it relights a fire again in Brendan? Like Gordon's saying there, losing to Rangers that last game, I think, you know, because it's been 2 weeks, you'd be absolutely raging. You lost to your biggest rivals. And now you're coming in for the running. Do you know if you're winning all the time and then it's almost like, right, I'm going to go away, I'm going to come back and go through the motion again. I think it gives you that kind of kick on to say, hang on a minute, let's get going again for these remaining games.
It might be a good thing, but I was hopeful of that last game because they'd went to Ibrox on January the 2nd and been beaten 3-0. I thought there would have been something there. And I did think Celtic, you know, started the game very sluggishly, but there was the reaction in the second half, but absolutely, that will give them just that wee bit more incentive to get the job done.
Yeah.
Can you almost become, when you put it out there so early, your points totals on the board, everybody knows you're going to win the league, you then almost, you can become a slight victim of that because stumbling over the line then leaves, you know, leaves a kind of a weird taste. Not in the long term. It's not like there's an asterisk on the league titles that says that you know you slowed down towards the end, but just in that moment and knowing the standards that Brendan Rodgers sets, he's going to want to, you know, really put the foot to the floor from here on, isn't he?
Yeah, especially after the back of that result. And you're right, sometimes you can win a league title and still be a bit of negativity around it from your own supporters, like you said, because of the standards that they have set and losing to their kind of bitter rivals. So yeah, listen, he's going to want to set the record straight, as you said. He's not just going to want to win it and then that's it. You know, players kind of down tools. He'll be saying to them, no, we need to go hard. And, you know, obviously they've got the semi-final coming up as well. If they get to the final, that's then the last game of the campaign. So then there's something else to play for. So I think all of these things will work in Celtic's favour.
Also
in terms
to Ibrox as well. So
to get them going.
Yeah, definitely. They'll want to go there and put that right. But that's the thing, the likes of Celtic, and that's the job for the manager, isn't it? To try and get the players up for it, and more times often in recent times they have been.
Yeah, so I think it's Friday you hear from Brendan Rodgers. That's probably the time when you get your official Kasper Schmeichel update, because it's one thing us talking about, and by the way, it could be the other way. He could say, oh listen, it's not as bad as people feared, we'll be back in a couple of weeks. But we're kind of talking about, can Celtic get through, you know, if it was to be something even longer than that and maybe rumble on, a bit of a concern, wouldn't it?
Towards what, the end just of the season?
Or even into the summer or into pre-season?
It depends how the keeper, Sinny Sarlo, does, obviously. As Marv says, it's his chance to go and shine, so that would be him staking a claim. It would depend how he would react to that, obviously.
So I said during Beat the Pundit that Dunfermline have confirmed the signing of Victor Wanyama, and there was only ever one way they were going to do it. Can you guess? Was apart from the goals against Barcelona and playing for Spurs, what is Victor Wanyama most famous for?
Tackling.
No, the tweet. You must have seen his tweet.
No.
It's one of the most like famous footballer tweets ever in the history of Twitter, because it was back in the day, I think players were sort of...
Oh, the glasses are going off.
players were getting used to it and maybe wondering, you know, what's the deal here? So I can just communicate with people like this and just put my thoughts out there. You know, you keep seeing like Wayne Rooney's old tweets appearing,
yeah,
where he's like talking rubbish. You not remember the famous one, Victor Wanyama?
Was it before 2015?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, so that I wouldn't know.
Where he just tweeted, I had spaghetti and it was very nice. I enjoyed it. Have you ever seen that before?
No. But yeah, that makes sense of what somebody wrote on, obviously on YouTube, was going across the bottom, something about Victor and spaghetti.
Is I've never seen that.
What have Dunfermline wrote?
So that's what they've written.
Have they just written
the exact
that?
Same thing?
I thought you were going to say he's not actually ended up signing.
He's actually there, the old scarf above the...
Oh, nice.
The head. It's incredible to see things you never thought you would see.
Signing.
But there we go. I like spaghetti. No, honestly, unaware of that. I'm sure he's got a couple of others. I'll dig them out for you. Honestly, the suggestions coming into the other sort of memorable or outlandish, whatever word you want to use, signings, absolutely brilliant. Some really, really good ones coming on here that you would definitely forget about. The Rocks Maw says, a Michael Chopra at Alawa.
Do you sign for Alawa?
No,
I can't remember.
Michael Chopra, ex-Newcastle striker. Wow, I didn't know that either.
David says, George Cadetti, Partick Thistle.
Cadetti, yes.
Did he play a lot?
I don't think he played at all.
I can't remember. Did he not?
I think he was there very, very, maybe a week. Correct me if I'm wrong. Aye, but he was there, yes, George.
David says Robert Earnshaw at Morton.
Wow.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
No idea. Really,
but I'm trying to think, though, would that have been outlandish at the time, or is that only outlandish now? Do you know what I mean? To look back
imagine
on.
That would have been the end of his career now, Earnshaw.
It was earlier, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Nah, that wouldn't be, yeah, that's not quite.
Because a good example of that is Jay Rodriguez, you know, who he played for.
Yes, I do start now.
Sterling Albion, yeah. But again at the start. So that's not, I don't think that's.
He loved that loan move, by the way. He actually still speaks about that. Was Jemba Jemba before as well? Because St Mirren had a few, didn't they?
Someone did say Jemba Jemba to St Mirren, actually. Yeah. That's a good shout. Who was it? I don't want to leave them out and not give them the recognition that they deserve. But that's a good point. That was quite, there you are. Mark said Jemba Jemba to St Mirren was a bizarre one.
And then Mahrez, it didn't sign, he wasn't good enough.
Something like
that one. That's who was in charge then?
I don't know, they can't be in football anymore, surely.
Something I did not notice, genuinely didn't notice this. We're getting a bit of stick, the three of us.
Why?
Jonah says, why does everybody wear black so often on here? They look like three sticks of licorice. I don't really get the reference too much. And Gary Hart says, I'm just watching on YouTube, thought it was Boys in the Hood with you all wearing black hoodies.
He's still watching us, though.
No hate. Love the show, he says.
Boys in the Hood.
I'm going to rethink this.
Yeah.
Was I not getting accused of being a rapper with my trainers? Off Mr. DL.
Oh, is that, what did he call you again?
50 Cent?
No. He tried to say Jay-Z.
ZJ.
CJ.
Did you hear it? Honestly.
Outrageous. Anyway, we're back for more of the same after these. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here. 0141 951 1025. You can tweet as well. I mean, you can text, I suppose, like Hugh Keevans has, to say that he's going to wear his best cardigan on Friday to restore fashion standards after the three of us turned up in matching black hoodies this evening. Unplanned, I promise you. 01419511025. Keep your thoughts coming, whatever topic it is that's tickling your fancy. This has been a quick turnaround. Remember I told you, or I said earlier on the show, there were reports tonight elsewhere that there was a clause for Václav Černý for five and a half million. It now appears that that's not the case.
Oh.
So see the last half hour of the show, just delete it off the podcast or something. So I did say there were reports out there. I didn't say I was 100% sure.
So who said it's not true?
How accurate they are, I can't tell you that.
Oh, but I was not coming from one of the clubs, but someone's told you.
I can't reveal. So how do you know Václav hasn't texted me himself?
That's true, because he's got his name right.
Could be. You never know.
Are you confident that it's not?
Yeah. Oh. 01419511025. We have a teaser for you as well, though, which I quite like.
Can I have some paper then, please?
I suppose.
It is, yeah.
I left it through there and Gordon picked it up. And then
did
just
I steal
kept
your...
it.
What about this?
You can have the Beat the Pundit sheet.
Look at him checking, there's nothing on there that's
important.
Yeah,
but the tiebreaker. You might steal the tiebreaker for next week. Just, just take it. I'll get a new one. Right. Anyway, your teaser tonight is with big thanks to... Look, I'm studying the tiebreaker on the back of the sheet.
No, I'm looking at the score so far. He has to put his glasses on to see where he is. Yeah, that's you, mate. You're not changing your name.
That's the first time I've seen the league table. How are you fourth?
He's good.
Well, I'll be even higher now.
Anyway,
up there as well.
Thanks to Craig Rooney. Since the year 2000, can you name the 10 interim managers who've managed Celtic or Rangers? So, since the year 2000, can you name the 10 interim managers who've managed Celtic or Rangers?
Neil Lennon.
Yes, well done. I see, he's clever. Clever there, because obviously he became a permanent manager. I like that.
Barry Ferguson.
Yes, a nice, easy, recent one.
Simon join in now.
Oh, silence on radio doesn't work.
Not at all.
It does not.
Murty.
Yes.
Who?
Graham Murty.
What do you mean who? That's your time.
Yeah,
that's
no. Prime. He played at Reading as well. But we don't pronounce it Murty.
The forward role.
That was the problem.
The back
role. Sorry, what do you call him?
Graham Murty.
But you've been here for a year.
Yeah, I didn't know who
why
was
is
saying
this the first time you've picked anyone up on their accent.
No, I didn't know.
You've been
who
here
was
for
saying.
10 years.
You didn't say Graham first either.
I said Murty.
That's why I didn't know what was happening.
Because Reading's your that's where you're from,
yeah,
isn't it?
So he was the right.
Do you remember
back
him
captain?
At Reading?
Yeah.
I remember that because he got Scotland caps at that time.
When I was in the academy, he was at Elm Park.
What park?
Elm Park.
Is that where you trained?
That was the old stadium before Majewski.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I only remember Majewski. I've been there a few times, you know.
Majewski, the mad stad.
I wonder if you and I met in a previous life.
Probably did.
Yeah, that's... Anyway, move on. Let's. You can keep going between now and the end of the show on that, but you don't have to give me any more right now. Thank you to Craig Rooney. And as always, if you want to submit a teaser, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. A history of Scottish football in 100 objects is still on about the weird and wonderful signings. He says Justin Fashanu at Airdrie. Again, I know the story. Yeah. But that's right up your era, is it not?
Still a wee bit before me.
Is it?
Aye.
I'm listening
still,
to Marvin.
I think I'm still at school when he was at Airdrie.
Definitely not.
No, 93. That's prime Simon 90, Donnelly breaking through.
Yeah, it's 92.
Come on. Yeah. Unbelievable.
What year did you make your debut? Sorry?
What age? 90,
what year? What year was it?
93/94. 94, I think.
Oh, okay.
1994, Raith Rovers.
I'd have been 8. Nice.
Hibbs, sorry.
Jamie,
you'd have been what?
8.
Jamie Millard says Guillermo Amor rocking up at Livy has to be there. I like how his name translates into Scottish as Willie Love. Which I suppose doesn't sound quite as exotic, does it? It's not quite got the same ring to it. But yeah, I suppose teams like Livy, Dundee, they did some interesting things back in the early 2000s.
That was pre-administration for Livy, I take it. Some of those big names.
So there was none at your Hibs time, you know, nothing like that. You said Grant Holt, but that's just not the same, is it?
No, it's not the same, no. We didn't have anyone, really. We had Lenny as manager as well. I suppose he didn't bring any.
Let's bring in Jim, who is on the line. How are you, Jim?
I'm good, thanks.
What are you thinking tonight? You got any outlandish signings Rangers have made?
Well, I was just talking to your producer beforehand. I thought Daniel Prodan was one. He was a fantastic signing, supposedly, and I think he played one game.
Okay, yeah, that's right. I suppose they're the hindsight ones where you don't quite, you know, don't have the impact that you're expecting. Because, I mean, they're big names, Jim, but I mean, Torre André Flo, is that outlandish? Because he's paid a lot of money, didn't he?
It wasn't so much outlandish, yeah. I think it was the money we paid for him at the time. It was, what, 8 million, which is a drop in the ocean now, but I think it was 8 million.
12 million. Oh, 12 million.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was big money at that particular time. Your first caller that was on, the Dunfermline man, sort of stole my thunder because Ravenelli was one I was thinking about, go for Dundee. And there was also Coyde at Canadia, went for Dundee, and then obviously played for Rangers as well, and had a bit of success there.
I know, they were doing some mad things that time. And Canadia is incredible because obviously the Argentina team he played in, and Maradona and all that sort of stuff.
I know, but as Jim says there, he went on to play with Rangers after that. Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean, he's probably the best one, isn't he, in terms of a massive name coming and then actually doing Canadia, something. Because the rest of them played like five games, we're talking about.
Maybe, you could be right, you could be onto something.
Impact.
What a roller coaster it's been tonight, Jim. So I said earlier there were reports coming out elsewhere that the price for Czerny was $5.5 million. That now seems to be not the case. So okay. I don't know where this leaves us. Let's speak in very general terms. How much would you like to keep him? What sort of price would you be willing to pay?
If you're paying that kind of money for him, I think it's a good deal. In the overall scheme, he has been a good player. Whether he's committed to want to stay or not, there's been rumours kicking about that he was going to go back at the end of the season. So, you know, it's difficult to kind of tell what the ideas are with that. But certainly for $5.5 million, I would say that's a good price for him. He's created the goals, he's scored the goals. You know, he's good at running down the wing, running inside. Mm-hmm. You know, very skilled. He's a bit one-footed though. You know, that's the only problem. He seems to prefer putting it with not the one foot. The way I look at it, with professional football, your both feet should be better than most people's.
I suppose, Marvin, the distinction to be clear about this, I'm not saying you cannot get him for $5.5 million. What I'm saying is, I don't believe there is that clause is there. And you'd have to say, actually, you know, if you know, he is an international footballer, he is in the sort of prime years of his career, albeit not for sell on. Given this, and this can be the difficulty when you have a good loan player and you want to buy them. Adam Ida might be a, you know, you then might not, you might not get him for that as a result of how well he's done at you. That's a frustration, isn't it?
That's always a problem, like you said, because some loan signings you do get, and there is like a fee that, you know, if it's triggered, then you know you can then speak to the player. Other teams don't do it. Like I said, Adam Eder's not done it. Czerny, that didn't have one in there either. And normally that's because their clubs think what you're saying, they're good. And if they go there and actually do well, we're going to get more for them than what we can negotiate now. So yeah, listen, it's always a difficult one, but you bring in lone players to make an impact, and he's definitely done that. If Rangers can sign him permanently in the summer, their fans will be absolutely delighted. If they can't, I'm sure they'll wish him the best, and he'll go on to pastures new. But you know, he's going to command a decent fee. You know, if you don't have the option of $5.5 million, then I don't think that's even going to be looked at by his parent club if that was to be bid.
Jim, wonder what the international break's done for your thoughts on Barry Ferguson, because it gives a bit of time to reflect, doesn't it? And the games are not coming thick and fast, and the emotion maybe comes out of it. How are you feeling about his prospects?
Well, I mean, I think it was a big surprise to everybody. Probably as good a surprise as when Yama got to Dunfermline, to be honest, when you look at it. But he's a Rangers man, and you know, and he's backroom staff are all Rangers orientated. They know what the club's about. And, you know, I think most managers, when they come in, they always seem to have a good impact. Okay, we've had, you know, Fenerbahce results were fantastic. The return leg was a bit nail biting for a wee while, but then we got there in the end. So it's difficult, you know, to say. I don't think it would do any worse than some of the other managers we've had. You know, when you look at Walter Smith when he first went to Rangers, he really wasn't, you know, known for much success prior to coming to Rangers. I know it was a different era, but you know, again, you don't need to be a good footballer to be a good manager. Some of the best managers, I mean, Barry Ferguson was a good footballer, but some of the best managers in the world have been bit part footballers. Alex Ferguson was a decent footballer, but, you know, arguably one of the best managers. So, certainly to the end of the season, we've got to wait and see how it pans out for the rest of the season. I don't think it's a bad shout, you know, to keep him on board. We don't want to keep chopping and changing. We want continuity, but at the same time, you know, let's see how it works out by the end of the season and with the backroom staff as well.
Yeah, I wonder how the time has been spent, Marvin, because when you first come in, I think it was a couple of days later, he went to Kilmarnock, obviously the Fenerbahce ties, played Motherwell, had the Celtic game, so it would have, there can't actually have been that much time on the training ground to try and implement anything. There has been an international break. That said, I think the Rangers players did get quite a bit of time off, the ones who were here, and some went on international duty. So I don't know, do you think there's scope there to see an even more different version of Rangers when they return this weekend?
Yeah, I think this would be the only time during the season they can really put a stamp on things. Like you said, because they'll have time, him and his staff first and foremost. Like you said, the players might have gone away, but I'm sure they would have been in, they'd have been analysing the games that they've had, you know, speaking about what they want to do going forward, and also marrying up how close the team is to what they want it to be. So I'm sure they've done a lot of work, and then when the players do come back in, they'll be putting that information into them. So yeah, listen, I think it'd been time well spent, but as you said, you know, the players now come back from international duty and being away, he wants to see a better Rangers now. I think this is where his audition really does start. I think he's had a good start, a really good start in terms of getting through in Europe, obviously beating Celtic in the last game for the international break. But I think between now and the end of the season, this is when he's really going to be judged. And if he's going to have a chance to get in the gig full time, I think they're going to have to do extremely well in these remaining games.
Because then there's that unknown bit that we can't shake, and all we can do is speculate and wonder about. And in that break, has the takeover talks, have they moved at all? Either way, have owners, potential owners, got in touch to say what they would like to see? About you, just we just don't know how that's sort of playing out in the background. Because you'd imagine it's a big thing.
Yeah.
So you'd imagine that it has to be ticking along, you know, in the background.
Yeah, it would definitely be ticking along in the background. You know, I would imagine that Barry's just been told to just get on with the job. You know, in terms of the takeover, whether it happens or it doesn't happen, the transfer window is not open, so it's not going to make any difference to them financially. And the best thing he can do is to win games of football to give him a chance to get in the job, you know, in the summer. So, like you said, the new owners, if they are to come in, they'll have a list of people who they want. But Barry Ferguson can force himself onto that list, as I said, by winning games of football.
I think it'll be interesting, actually, the game at the weekend, because I think that's where Rangers have let themselves down of late. You know, those type of games off the back of a fantastic result for them at Celtic Park and qualifying for the quarterfinals of Europe. They've got big games coming up. But I said it when Barry took over as interim manager, if he keeps winning games, that will do him no harm at all. It's hard to speculate what's going to happen with the takeover, but he can only do the job in front, and he's winning games. But it'll be interesting to see if they can kick on at Dens, which it won't be an easy game, but these are the games that they've slipped up. Your kind of Motherwells and obviously Queen's Park in the Cup. Can this group of players now start to go and win those games on a consistent basis?
From a selfish point of view as well, I think from Barry looking at it, he probably preferred it not to be a takeover. He'd probably prefer it to stay the way that it is. I think that gives him a better chance of actually getting the job from a selfish point of view. But as Simon said there, you know...
But
that,
then what if you can make yourself sort of irresistible, or believe that you can, you know, make yourself irresistible to a new regime, and then you get to be part of that excitement?
Yeah, I think it's a lot harder to get into that position than it would if it was stay in the hands of the current owners. I really do. Because as I said, when new owners do come into football club, and if they do come into Rangers, they'll have a list of people who they want to manage. That's just the way it is. And as I said, if Barry wins games of football, obviously he forced himself upon that. Whereas I think with the current regime, it might be seen as a safe pair of hands to go forward if they weren't to sell the club. But speaking about the Dundee game, Simon's completely right. That's the games that they've really struggled in to break teams down, and teams hitting them on a counter-attack rather than Rangers being able to react to the opposition. So we'll see what, you know, what he's had planned over these last couple of weeks, and whether the players are taking that information on.
Thank you to Jim and Rob Royston. And Dunfermline have opened a can of worms here. I'm genuinely surprised that you had never heard of the Victor Wanyama. I had spaghetti and it was very nice. I enjoyed it. Tweet. People are now just sending me all of Victor Wanyama's like best tweets, because there are quite a few that are as random as that. Morning tweets. Yesterday I watched The Paranormal Activity 3, and today I'm going to put it in the bin. Too scary to watch.
That's how enforcing midfielder that's coming in.
That is sensational. Anyway, thanks to Craig Rooney for the teaser tonight. Since the year 2000, can you name the 10 interim managers who've managed Celtic or Rangers? Graham, what was it again? How did you say it?
Murty.
And Barry Ferguson, Neil Lennon.
Got anything, sorry? I've got one which I need help with.
Was Dalglish interim?
Yes.
Nice. Welcome to the game. Right, Rangers had one, and do you know what? I might just be making this up, but now look at you.
For goodness sake.
Did he used to be your driving instructor or something?
Oh, right. Eh? I know who you mean.
Well, he's got to be in the last
10. No, that doesn't count, though.
Who's that?
You're referring to David McCallum.
That's right.
But he was just sort of in the dugout that day with the crossover between.
So he was interim Giovanni manager.
Nah, not officially though.
Right.
Wasn't it like a cup game at Hampden? Was it?
It was
final?
The Hibs game, the Martin Boyle.
Yeah. So what do you mean he's? No. He's on the list. I'm sorry.
How? I don't know. He's just not okay.
Oh, he's not on there. No. Okay. Perfect. Great list.
There are plenty more obvious ones than that.
No, but that was a good one for me.
Good shoot, yeah.
Okay.
Was Beale interim?
No.
many have we got? Four?
Four.
Well, who would be the coaching staff?
Oh, John Kennedy.
John Kennedy, well Kennedy. Done. What about round about the team, the time you came to Hibs?
Mm-hmm.
Did you come up against any?
Right, well, I clearly did.
Clearly. So you were in the Championship.
Yeah.
Rangers were also.
Before Mark Warburton.
Stuart McCall.
Yes, Stuart McCall.
Oh, great shout.
Anyway, sorry. We'll get the rest of the answers and if you so wish, more of your calls next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
And just like that, we're into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly. Do you know what's funny about this show, right? See, when it gets to this last break and the guys are going about the full-time teaser, they always go very quiet at the last break. They're always really much more interested in their phones than they are in the previous breaks. It's funny.
Thinking
that.
Time.
It's funny. Just to see you.
Who are you looking at?
Well, him in particular.
I've got another one, I think.
Oh, so the question is, can you name 10 interim managers who've managed Celtic or Rangers since 2000?
Durant.
Ian, yes, Durant. 2007. Marvin.
Jimmy Nick. What is the problem? Is that right or wrong?
What do you mean Jimmy Nick? What's his full name?
Nickel.
Oh!
Just...
Where did you get that one from?
Up here, thinking tank, mate.
Was that you? When did you leave Hibs?
2019.
So was it 5-all?
Yeah, aeroplane.
That's Jimmy Nick took Rangers that day, I think.
Is that Jimmy Nick, was it?
Have I got the timing all wrong on that? I think he did.
Did he?
Yeah.
That was like right at the end of the season.
Last
maybe.
Game of the season. So you were still at Hibs then?
I was still there, yeah, because we needed to, not,
you didn't know who the Rangers manager was. I'm sure he did.
I don't think so, because that was like the battle for, we needed to beat them by like 3 clear goals or something like that to finish second.
Was it 5-4?
5-all. And at one point, it looked like it was on. We were doing really
How
well.
How did the scoring go again? Because it was quite...
I think they went ahead and then I think we then like motored ahead of them and I think that was the goal difference. We were nearly there and then it just...
Paid it back.
Yeah, and then I think they must have went 5-4 up and then it was 5-5 because that's when Lenny did the aeroplane.
It was an amazing game. It really, really was.
The roasting day as well.
Thank goodness my memory hasn't deserted me.
It was
Jimmy Nicol in charge.
I knew that's when I saw Jimmy Nicol. That's where it came from, obviously, Gordon. It's one of those things, you know, that just came
just
back to me.
Remember him standing on the touchline.
Yeah, exactly. And Lenny's doing the aeroplane by him.
What part did you play in that?
None.
I was going to say.
I was sitting there watching. That's why
funny that.
Me and Lenny aren't friends anymore.
I was looking through the team lineups going, I don't see
you. I don't think I even got
anywhere.
On that.
Mm.
It was roasting that day. Honestly,
did you do a Dan Anderton that point?
No, that was me retiring.
I'm out of here.
Oh, that's me done. It was so hot that day. Man.
Some names in that, both team lineups that you just forget about. Jordan Rossiter.
Oh yeah, scored ex Liverpool.
One of his
centre midfielders.
Bruno Alves. He scored a free kick, didn't he?
Yep. Jordan was a good player, by the way. He's injury prone.
Friend of the show, Scott Allen. Did he score? I think he might have.
Did he?
Anyway, 0141 951 1025. Yeah, trip down memory lane. Still time. We can still take late entries to the question of outlandish, surprising signings in Scottish football. This is in the evening that it has been confirmed Victor Wanyama has signed for Dunfermline. Mark Cunningham has sent in a picture and he says, this is the Dunfermline dressing room tomorrow. And it's that picture of from Elf. You know, where Will Ferrell's like obviously much bigger than everyone sitting in the classroom.
That's going to be so weird for some of those players, though. Like, genuinely, you're like massive Celtic fan to see him.
That's what I was giving him a lift, though.
Oh, 100%.
A senior player, a guy who's, you know, been at that level. I think it, you know, that's maybe part of it as well,
yeah.
Bringing him in, I think. And including the manager, I think the players, I mean, Lenny's been very successful, particularly in this country. So, I mean, I think it'll give them a lift.
I think it's massive
Seven
for Scottish football as well. Championship team signing.
Definitely.
You know him.
Well, already
huge.
Said, Neil Lennon against Scott Brown gave Ayr Dunfermline kind of game of the day vibes.
Yeah.
You go and throw Victor Wanyama into the mix. Colin Rowan says, Charlie Nicholas signing from Arsenal to Aberdeen in his peak was incredible. Turning up full length leather coat and cowboy hat. Was that his debut at Easter Road? Immense.
There was a time that was happening though, wasn't it? Like players are coming up here in their prime.
Very good player.
Yeah.
He was really good at Aberdeen as well. Charlie Nick.
What else? I can see Lee has given this teaser a really good goal. Lee might have them all. Token Jester has got the Celtic ones.
We've got three more, haven't we?
Is this a good time to tell you, because Token Jester has inspired me, you're done with the Celtic ones?
We're done with the Celtic?
Yeah.
All right. What are we to get? Two? Three?
Three. Three gone. He's just not listening to us.
No, two to get.
Two?
Yeah, Ian Durant, Stuart McCall, Graham Murty, Jimmy Nicol, Barry Ferguson. Only two to get. Look, we've still got time. We actually got a few minutes left. Is there anything else you want to get off your chest? Any Scottish football stories you think we've not covered that deserve a bit of attention? Not really been much doing, as I feel like tomorrow really kicks back into action. We'll start hearing from the managers, building up to the weekend. I think Barry Ferguson's in the media outing tomorrow, so then you get to hear his thoughts on where Rangers go after the break. Anything else, Mill?
No, nothing else coming to mind.
Good. I'll just end the show early.
What about your guy?
Just go up the road.
He's just filling in. Honestly, what I see you do on this show.
Well, I've got, how many have I got then? So I've got
Durant, how many have you McCall, got? It's we. It's a team game.
Dalglish, Murty. I've got four. You cheated to get Jimmy Nicol.
Well, I just used my brain. 5-5 game. Who was on the opposition dugout? Jimmy Nick. Two more. Both Rangers.
Speaking of cheating, if you want to look at our social media channels all across, and there's a really good video of some of the pundits trying to do is it like say what you see?
Yeah.
You know, like the it's not emojis, it's like pictures, and they try and piece them together to come up with the names of footballers. Marvin Bartley has a nightmare. He's phoning his partner. He phones Dougie Imrie.
Yeah. Dougie was terrible, by the way.
Well, you couldn't get it either.
And do you know the worst thing about Dougie? Obviously, you guys didn't see this. He must have been swimming or a spa or something, because he comes up with a towel wrapped around him. He's like panicking. What's up?
Were you FaceTimed?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So it was for a friend.
I was FaceTiming everyone.
That is quite disturbing. Go check that video out. See if you can get the answer quicker than the pundits. I think you probably will.
I did all right.
I'm looking forward to the video being released of my attempts.
So you were saying, speaking of cheating, what are you suggesting?
Oh, I just, because it's a very difficult one. And out of all the pundits, Gordon DL somehow got it quicker than everyone else. And I just...
He's a clever man.
Because if you go and watch it, you'll see what I mean. You really need, there's a strong cultural reference in one of the pictures that you need to know. He does not know that. He doesn't.
That was a difficult one.
And he got it right.
It's a famous statue. He would not know what that statue is.
Even you struggled with that one though, and you were like the king of it.
No, I knew the statue bit. It was the next bit.
The next bit, yeah.
Miles off it. Right, let's round off this teaser then. Thanks to Craig Rooney for sending it in. fulltime@clyde1.com is the email. So that's what Craig did. He came up with a question. He emailed it into that email address, and here we are. Since the year 2000, can you name 10 interim managers who've managed Celtic or Rangers? Ian Durant, Stuart McCall, Graham Murty twice, Jimmy Nicol, Barry Ferguson currently, Kenny Dalglish, Neil Lennon the first time, and John Kennedy.
Who else has it been?
Nothing at all.
No
inspiration.
Give us
Ali McCoist?
Nope.
No.
Give us the seasons.
Who would have been on Ali McCoist's staff? That might be worth thinking about. When things got proper...
Kenny McDowell?
Yeah, I was going to say, when things got proper chaotic at Rangers, Kenny McDowell, 2014.
I'll take the assist for that.
You get an assist for that.
There is a recent one that you've forgotten about.
A recent one?
Yeah, pretty recent. It's the...
After Bell.
Oh, yeah. Oh no, sorry. Yeah, you're around about that time. No, before. You've confused me. It's
Before Beale.
2023.
Oh wow, really recent.
Yeah, so that's after Gio, isn't it? After Giovanni van Bronckhorst, yeah, I think it would be.
Oh, he was on Gio's staff. Is it? No.
Former player. No, nothing.
Blank, absolutely like blank.
Very well established, successful Rangers player. Stephen Davis.
Oh, wow.
Remember it?
Yeah, very well.
There you go. Yep. Thank you to Marvin Bartley and to Simon Donnelly. And thank you for listening, tweeting, giving us a call as well. We are back tomorrow from 6 o'clock with Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson. And in the meantime, enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.